thing that Dr. Sherwood has said in recent days. I don't know if any of you follow on Facebook, but occasionally we have some input about where he's making a difference as somebody posts on Facebook. And last week he was in Southwest Indiana. And the quote that made it onto Facebook by two or three different people was the following: "Maybe people haven't rejected the church, but the boring, impotent God we have presented to them." As I reflected on that, I was also reflecting on what we have been studying in the quarterly for Sunday school in 2 Corinthians, and all of the wonderful opportunities and privileges that were presented through whatever was going on in Corinth. And that chapter 13, where we were kind of residing for this past week or so, in verse 5 of 2 Corinthians chapter 13, it says, "Examine yourself to see whether you're in the faith. Test yourselves." And then it goes on with final greetings that, "Finally, brothers and sisters, rejoice, strive for full restoration, encourage one another, be of one mind, live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you. Greet one another with a holy kiss." I don't know about you, but in my family, kissing's not exactly the way that we greet one another when we see each other. But I do recall as a child growing up in the church, probably most everybody on this call remembers being called a brother or sister or greeting one another with greetings that were anticipated and intended to be greetings of friendship and acceptance and sincerity, fellowship, brotherly affection. Occasionally, it seemed to me some of those were more like Judas greetings. And as I got called into teaching and preaching, one of my professors said to me, "David, God loves people you don't even like." And I reflected on the fact that Christians can be difficult to love at times. But this greeting, greet each other with a holy kiss or a kiss of love, is repeated several times in scriptures. Five, if I can count correctly. And so it's probably important for us to understand what that is. It seems with COVID, it's become more important for us to think about gathering together for fellowship and reflecting on why we gather together. Do we just do it because it's commanded, or is there something bigger at play there? And so, how do we cultivate and express affection for fellow Christians? We know we are to love, especially those of the household of faith. And the holy kiss, or how we greet one another, is a visible observance of that brotherly affection. Some of you know that I've been blessed over the last 50 years to be co-vocational, bivocational, whatever the proper term is. And because of that, I am blessed to continue being a part of businesses around the world. Currently, I have a position of being the commissioner for accreditation for business schools worldwide. We have about 12 to 1500 sites around the world and in over 60 countries. Last year, I was asked to give a presentation in Washington, D.C., and this year, I was asked to be the keynote speaker in Vietnam. Again, I'm not much of a public speaker, but it's a blessing to be able to take Christian faith and be a missionary or a minister around the world. I also had the opportunity in my career to spend some time with a gentleman by the name of Edward Deming, and his theory of quality systems and what he calls the theory of profound knowledge is still talked about and researched and studied in businesses. And so, as I was called to be the keynote speaker in Vietnam, I wrestled with how do I share my faith in a culture and a place that's limited access for the gospel. And so, this theory of profound knowledge is a way for me to do that because of my time in business and with Dr. Deming. So I'm very blessed to be able to do that. And as I look at what we as educators do and what business education is about, and I have taken and melded the kinds of things that I learned from business systems and what I've learned from being a disciple for 60 plus years, and some of what you guys have taught me in my 16 years here at NBC. And so, as I went to Vietnam, I greeted the folks from 9 or 10 different countries there with a holy kiss. It opened an avenue for me to talk about my faith and the two things that I challenged all of them about was, what are you teaching your students about who they are and why they are here? And maybe you should start with, who are you and why are you here? And the framework for that, I took Dr. Deming's theory of profound knowledge, which has to do with what is knowledge. Who are we as humans? So what is psychology? Some knowledge of variation and appreciation for a system. And I turned it into this, what I call holy kiss. So it's an acronym, and let me give you those four, the KISS. So the kiss in my mind, the K is knowledge. Over these almost 70 years now, I've learned that there is no substitute for knowledge. Whether it's knowledge of God, knowledge of Scripture, knowledge of the skill that you're Shirley Cadle in finance, or Dwayne and how he deals with the registrar's office. There is no substitute for knowledge. If we are going to do well, if we are going to flourish, knowledge is important. But how do we know what we know? These days, we talk about false information and all of those kind of things. It's important for our students, and it's important for me, and it's important for you to know. How do you know what you know? So, in these 70 years, I've come to believe that Dr. Deming's right about in his theory of how we should be living, knowing something, and knowledge is important. So the K is knowledge. And that opens a whole door for me to talk about knowledge and the accumulation and the education piece, etc. The I in KISS is the integrity piece. What does it mean to be fully human? Who are you? Why are you here? What is virtuous? How do you decide whether you're wise or not? What does it mean to be holy? This whole integrity piece takes us back to what is your value system and how do you operate and how can you even have a course on ethics if you haven't figured out what your values are or what integrity is, et cetera, et cetera. So that opens a whole door for me to talk about my faith and my value system based on my Christianity and my belief in Christ. So knowledge and integrity. Then the first S is skill. In Dr. Deming's philosophy, it's about variation. There is variation in everything. But how much difference does it take in a measurement to be important? In business, we want to measure everything. We get tied up in knots about how much that there's a different measure. Well, we have more students this week than we had last. We have fewer people in Sunday school this week than we had last. Well, what does that mean to us? How do we react? What is a leader to do? Do we understand that there is a difference in that? So that leads me into a whole discussion about what are the skills that are necessary for the field of study that you're in, and how do we develop that, and how do we create that? So knowledge, integrity, skill, and then the fourth is an appreciation for system. The appreciation for a whole. What is the aim of our system? Is there a system if it doesn't have an aim? Dr. Deming used to talk about the tiger and his aim to feed itself. You know, it has a purpose and a name. So it brings me back to this integrity and what is your purpose? What is the purpose of your organization? What is the purpose of your degree? How do you deal with that and provide information for accreditors with regard to system? We're hearing a lot these days about system access and how underprivileged people don't have access to the same resources that you have or I have. And I remember as a young person that hitting me hard that I had resources that others didn't have. And it's especially true these days as our systems often cause others to be disadvantaged where I am advantaged. So systems play a huge part in our ability to perform and to do good and to make a difference and be able to do the aim of the business or our personal aim, our own personal purpose in life. If this KISS is right, it's about transformation of the whole, but it's also about transformation of the individual. And we don't have to be eminent in any of these four areas, But we need to continue to learn and grow, and we need to be a learning, lifelong learning is important. I love to talk to schools about the fact that it's one thing for an organization to learn. A child can touch a hot stove and learn, but that doesn't mean that that child is a lifelong learner, nor does the fact that a school learns something mean that it is a learning organization. I'm convinced that in the church, we aren't the learning organization we should be because we don't establish proper feedback loops. We surround ourselves with people who think like we do. We surround ourselves with a board of people who are yes men or women and enjoy what we preach and what we teach, and we don't listen appropriately to feedback. And therefore, we wind up being, as Dr. Sherwood said, maybe people haven't rejected church, but the boring, impotent God that we have presented. So I wish to bless you today with a holy kiss, knowledge, integrity, skill, and system, but share a caution that reflects on what Dr. Sherwood had to say. And if Susan can put up a poem that I refer to, not all the time, but I try to go back to this poem once a year, ever since I've been called into ministry. So I'll read it. Not that you can't read it, but I will read it to you, and then let's pray. Weep, weep for those who do the work of the Lord with a high look and a proud heart. Their voice is lifted up in the streets, and their cry is heard. A bruised reed they break by their great strength, and the smoking flax they trample. Weep not for the quenched, for their God will hear their cry, and the Lord will come to save them. But weep, weep for the quenchers. For when the day of the Lord is come, and the vales sing, and the hills clap their hands, and the light shines, then their eyes shall be open on a waste place, smoldering, the smoke of the flax bitter in their nostrils, their feet pierced by broken reed stems, wood, hay, and stubble, and no grass springing, and all the birds flown. Weep, weep for those who have made a desert in the name of the Lord. So today I greet you with a holy kiss and evaluate myself, examine myself as to whether my purpose is being fulfilled and whether I'm a channel of grace that God can use and whether He is flowing through me and whether my life is making a difference to any of those that I'm in contact with, and recognize that I'm human. And in my egotistical engineering, commanding, domineering way, I sometimes get in his way and cause havoc rather than peace and joy and love. And I repent of those things and ask God to continue to find a way to use me. Whether it's in Vietnam or it's in some capacity at NBC or it's with my grandchildren or where he takes me today, may you and I, may we greet one another with a holy kiss of acceptance that we are all brothers and sisters in Christ, that we all have a place to serve. We all are important. We need to have expressions that are visible for the outside world so that they know that there's a difference in us and in the kingdom and being part of what God is doing through us. And so thank you for the opportunity today.